This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demeritz, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. Last week, we talked about analyzing your advertising dollars or analyzing your advertising budget. And if you listened, you realized that basing your budget, your advertising budget, off of percentage of sales can leave a lot to be desired. And to truly understand this, you need to figure out value. The real key to all of this, though, is understanding what your customers actually cost you to acquire and what they're going to be worth to you in the lifetime of their business with your business. That is exactly what we're going to talk about this week. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you have a question for me or want to hear a question answered on here, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. If you want to talk to us about accounting and tax services for your business, shoot us a text at 301-307-5413. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors, Promotive and Wicked File. If you need to hire the next rock star for your team, give Promotive a call. And if you need to get your back office under control, give Wicked File a call.
Let's face it, your shop management system is the most critical tool in your shop. Nabotrax will move your shop into the SMS fast lane with on-site training, 6 days a week support, and local representation. Visit them online at nabotrax.com. That's NAPATRACS.com. Great news. You now have a hiring partner to help you with the heavy lifting of hiring your next superstar. Introducing Promotive, a full-service staffing solution for your auto repair shop. Visit them online at gopromotive.com.
Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. This is sort of a two-part episode, and generally I say if you didn't listen to last week, go back and listen to that one first. This time I'm going to say, you know what, go ahead and listen to this one and then go back and listen to last week. Not that I've done this out of order, but I think I mentioned some of this last week where if you understand some of these key terms and key ideas, last week will probably even be more helpful. Does that mean that you should go back and listen to last week again? Be my guest on this, but this might also kind of sharpen your skills or fill in some blanks that we skimmed over for last week. For those of you that listened to last week, you might have heard me mention, but I skipped over two very, very important metrics, customer acquisition cost, or sometimes called CAC, and then lifetime customer value, or a lot of times called LTV. You probably have an idea of what these figures are, whether you know it or not, but mastering them is the key to figuring out your shop and your shop's advertising. What is the basic idea here? CAC, or CAC, is the cost of getting a new customer, while LTV is the value that that new customer brings. And how are you judging advertising? The basic idea behind this is your customer acquisition cost needs to be less than your customer lifetime value. If your customer acquisition cost is less than your customer's lifetime value, then it means that the value of this advertising is going to exceed the cost. Remember, last week, that was the entire idea of what I'm talking about. I don't care how much your advertiser is charging you. If they're charging you $50,000, that could be good as long as they are driving value. And if you know how to understand this, if you know how to measure this stuff, it's not going to be an emotional decision, but a fairly simple one. To give that example in a little bit more detail, let's say that we have one mailer that goes out. If we have one mailer that goes out, or you know, a group of mailers, and that cost us $3,000, and the only business that that brought in was one customer, and they paid us $3,000. Was it worth it? We spent $3,000 in advertising and we got $3,000 in sales. But remember, we don't care about sales, we care about gross profit. And industry average around 50%, what it actually works out to is we've spent $3,000 in advertising and we got back $1,500 in gross profit to pay our bills to use profit. Do you think that this is worth it? I'm going to kind of be my own worst enemy, but if you remember last week, what I talked about was generally you have to have twice the sales to cover the cost of advertising. So in this situation, we're looking at this and we would say, all right, in order to cover $3,000 worth of advertising, we need this to give us $6,000 worth of sales. We were using an oversimplification on this and we were assuming that this is going to pay for itself in one visit. And the good news is if your customers never come back and they only are here once, then whatever they spend your first visit is their lifetime value. But for the rest of you guys, this is section is going to be for you of truly understanding the value. It is too short-sighted to say, I'm trying to cover all my costs or I'm trying to get a specific return. And also, there's a lot of variables here. You could increase the value of your customer by having them spend more, but also it's sometimes more realistic and honestly healthier for your business to increase the value, not by having them spend more per visit, but giving them more value so that they keep on coming back and back and back. It is always cheaper to keep a customer than it is to find a new one. And if you don't believe me, keep on listening. To truly judge our advertising, it shouldn't be looked at as percentage of sales or anything, but really what you're looking at is customer acquisition cost versus the same lifetime value of the customer. If your customer acquisition cost is less than your lifetime value, then you know in the long run, this customer is going to get you more money than it ever cost you to receive them. If you're looking at a business where the customer acquisition cost exceeds the lifetime value of a customer, this is really kind of the scariest thing to ever see. What this looks like in real life is spending 10% of your sales on advertising and your sales decreasing. That means, yeah, I'm going out and I'm probably getting customers, but they're not giving me enough value and I have declining sales. Now, in the longer sense of this, there's going to be some more complicated figures of how long are they there, what is the turn rate and stuff like that. But the whole idea is still going to be the same. Our customer acquisition cost, the lower it can be, the better. And then obviously, we want our customers to be more and more valuable. We're trying to increase that lifetime value. Customer acquisition costs, we want to go to zero. And for some of you guys, even have a negative number on there. And then for lifetime value, we want that to be as high as we possibly can. So to truly understand this relationship, you need to understand how to calculate both. You get that there's a relationship between CAC. All right, I know customer acquisition costs need to be low, and I know lifetime value needs to be high. But you're never going to be able to adjust these. You're never going to be able to improve these if you can't measure these and measure these fairly quickly. To measure customer acquisition cost, it is fairly simple here. You take your total amount that you spent on advertising, whatever period you're going to do, it doesn't really matter. Do it over the last 6 months, do it over the last year, do it after the last month. As long as the numbers are coming from the same period, you're going to get good information. What you do is you take the total spent on advertising and you say, how many new customers did that get me? And you divide that, and that's going to give your customer acquisition cost. Here's an example on that. Let's say that you spend $5,000 on advertising and it brings in 10 new customers. You now have $500 for your customer acquisition cost, or it cost you $500 for every customer. You got 10 new customers, 500 times 10 is 5,000. Depending on how well you keep your figures, you should know this as an overall average. I spent $10,000 on all my advertising sources last month. I got 10 new customers. It cost me $1,000. But depending on how well you're tracking where these people are coming from, you should actually know what the customer acquisition cost for different types of advertising. If I have a prototype business or an example shop out here that has an average $500 customer acquisition cost and they use multiple different approaches of advertising, what I'd want to know is, I want to know my averages, because for a lot of things, I just want to see the blended. But I need to also be able to analyze each of the different marketing sources, because this is really where you're going to judge value. Of someone that has a $500 average customer cost, what's probably going on there is $400 customer cost for Google AdWords. It costs them $600 to get a new customer from billboards and then maybe $500 on mailers. Which one would you choose if you had those three choices? I would probably be putting my money towards Google. It's the cheapest out there. It's getting me a customer. Why would I not spend it on the cheapest one? Why would I go put more money on billboards when it's costing me 50% more than that same advertising dollar I'm spending on Google? Guys, this is where we're talking about true budgeting, not just looking at percentage of sales, but what is going to give us value? What is going to give us return on investment? If I'm looking at something like Google on there, at what point would I start to stray away from Google? My marketing company comes back and says, Hunt, you know, some of these things that we're bidding on are getting more and more expensive and it's raising our cost of Google AdWords. I'd go back to them. I would say, well, keep on going. I can increase my cost 25 cents on Google as long as the metrics still stay the same before I would look at an alternative source of advertising. If I keep on spending money on Google and it costs me $400 to get a customer, I had to bid up and now it's costing me $450, I'm still going to do it because it's still cheaper than mailers or billboards. But once Google passes $500 and, you know, we are kind of competing with other people and now our spend is $550, it no longer makes sense to use Google and would probably make sense to shift to mailers. This is not something that's going to stay the same. If you've never done that method of advertising before, you could get really good results, but then when you look at it 6 months later, it's dried up. And it might be cheap, but it's the most expensive thing ever if it's not going to get you any customers. What is $800 advertising if it gets you zero customer? What's that customer acquisition cost? It's infinite. This is not this easy, though, because we are all assuming that all of these different approaches have the same lifetime value. We're judging this and saying, all right, the lifetime value on all of these is the same, so I'm going to pick Google, billboards, or mailers, depending on whichever one is the cheapest. Realistically, all of these different methods of advertising bring in different types of customers. Some of them spend money, some of them don't spend money. Some of them stay for 10 years, and some of them you will never see again. Truly maximizing this is not only understanding the cheapest customer acquisition cost, but the cheapest in a relative sense of how much value you're getting from these customers. We know how to calculate customer acquisition costs, but to truly understand this, we need to figure out lifetime value. And this is where it gets a little bit trickier, but I'm going to try and talk in generalities here to work for most shops. In order to figure out lifetime value, we need to figure out what lifetime means. Lifetime means their lifetime with your business. How long are these clients with you and how many times a year do they come in? You're going to need to know this stuff. There are some shop management systems out there that will give you these numbers. How much does the average client spend me with a year? How much is the average gross profit on this stuff in a year? How many times do they see me in a year? All of this metrics, you don't have to calculate it. It's going to show you these numbers real time. For the rest of you guys, I'm going to tell you how to calculate this. What you need to do is you need to figure out what your average repair order is. You need to know how many times a year the average customer comes in. You need to know how many years your average customer stays. And you need to know what your gross profit percentage is. You should know your ARO. You should know how many times a year they come in. You should know how many years they stay. How many years they stay is probably the hardest number because some shop management systems or CRM might not know that. You're going to know your ARO, you're going to know your gross profit. You might have to estimate on how many times a year they come or how many years they stay. Really, really, really try to research this a lot. It's fine to do an estimate if you think that the real number they come in is 2 times a year and their actual number is 2.2. But if you use too many estimates in here, you could come up with bad decisions because it's not actually reality. But after that kind of warning, let's go down through what this actually looks like to calculate for your shop. I'm going to go down through an example of a shop, and this is just a hypothetical, but I would imagine that these numbers are probably pretty close to the average. Maybe not the amount of years on this, but the rest of it. Let's say that your average repair order is $500, and let's say that the average customer comes in here 2 times a year, and that customer stays there for 3 years, and our overall gross profit is 50%. How do you calculate what that lifetime value is? So if we have $500 per visit and we have 2 visits, that means that we're going to get around $1,000 in sales a year. And if they're going to be there for 3 years, we're going to get $3,000 in sales over the lifetime of an average customer. Remember, we don't care about sales. Sales don't pay our bills. Gross profit does. We need to multiply times our gross profit rate of 50%. And what we end up with is lifetime value of $1,500. Every time they come in, they spend $500. They're there 2 times a year. Average customer stays for 3 years. Multiply times 50% because only half of that's going to be gross profit. And that's where we come up with this.
Is your recruitment process draining your valuable time and resources? What if there was a partner who could take your recruitment efforts off your plate? Look no further. Promotive is your ultimate solution for hassle-free staffing focused solely on the automotive industry. On the web at gopromotive.com. Promotive understands the challenges you face when searching for the perfect technician or service advisor for your shop. That's why we've developed a platform that takes the hassle out of recruiting. Michelle Tanzi from Euroclinic said, "I am a shop owner and recruiting new talent is so time-consuming. Promotive does the majority of the seeking and recruiting. They reach out to the candidates for you, and when they feel they are a good match for you and culture, they make the connection. They follow up throughout the interview process, and we make sure that the candidates are a good fit and the shop is a good fit for the candidates. I admire that they genuinely want both parties to win. They recruited and paired us with a solid B-Tech and Master Tech. Both left a dealership position and are still part of our team. We are very happy with the character and culture match, and both technicians have become valuable team members. Visit our website at gopromotive.com today and join the growing community of shop owners who have found their ideal team members with Promotive."
Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. WicketFile's AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. WicketFile puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wicketfile.com to learn more and get started today. There's some trickier stuff in here that I want to mention. I'm not going to calculate this because I think even the base of this idea is a bit over someone's head. And even some of this data might be hard for some of you guys to calculate. But again, this is an oversimplification of what's going on. Because if you're marketing to a household and it's a married couple and they have maybe four cars on this, are you actually getting one? Or when you get a new customer, are you getting one and a half? There is a lot of variables to this. I know you're going to talk about this. And if you understand that stuff and you can measure those numbers too, then great. For the rest of you, I would just look at a baseline here of just that customer, no other positive impacts. Because generally what you would look at is saying, if I get this one customer to come in and spend money, I'm going to guarantee that it's going to be one. It could end up being more, but I always kind of want to be conservative on this. Now that we actually know how to calculate both of these, let's actually look at some examples on how we would use these numbers and how we would judge them once you start looking at this. The whole idea is looking at customer acquisition cost versus lifetime value. And let's just use the example that we talked about below, where our customer acquisition cost is $500 and our lifetime customer value is $1,500. What is this saying? What this is saying is I'm going to spend $500. That's going to be the cost. And year one, I'm going to get back my money, right? Because remember, we're going to make $1,500 in profit over a three-year period. I spend $500 year one, I get $500 back in gross profit. Year one, I broke even. Year two, I'm going to get another $500 and I'm essentially doubling my money. Year three, I'm getting another $500. So over the entire life of this 3 years, I'm going to triple my money. What is this saying and what is our expectations? Should I expect my profit to go up in year one, given this current example? No. I know my profit is not going to go up year one because they're going to bring me in $500 of gross profit from this new customer, but I paid $500. This is a way to set expectations on how long it should take to see resounding results. Have you ever felt like I'm doing a lot more work in advertising? I have a lot more people coming in here, but my profit really doesn't look any different. What that could be happening is your customer acquisition cost is very high. And if you have customers long enough, it should work its way out. Like in this example, year one, if we have a customer leave after year one at a $500 customer acquisition cost, we shouldn't have ever brought them in. Because if we are paying $500 and at best we are going to get $500 in gross profit, we are not going to make any money on this client. We're swapping dollars back and forth. Going back to the other one of $500 versus $1,500, is this still good ROI, good return on investment? I would argue yes, but that is still going to be going by your own direction and your own decisions. Some people have a lot longer time frame on this, right? If you're looking with the long play, if you have lower return on investment targets, you might be okay saying, you know what? I'm losing money year one, making money back year two. Year three, I'm actually positive on a customer. And year four, I'm printing money. That's not a bad idea if your average customer stays with you for 10 years. You're playing the long game. If your average customer stays with you for 4 years, then you're going to be on the razor's edge of actually ever making your advertising money back. The trickier part is when these things come somewhere in the middle, right? And this is where it comes up to your own standards. Is 500 versus 1200 a good ratio? Is 500 versus $1,000 a good ratio? And this is where, again, going back to the original argument of, well, what should my sales be as a percentage of my overall revenue? It's too complicated. There's too many variables. What is your ratio between customer acquisition cost and lifetime value is just as complicated. Hunt, if I don't have a specific ratio target to shoot for, what should I try to be doing here? Like I said, all of these ideas of calculating customer acquisition cost, or calculating lifetime value, that is going to be the same for all shops. But the relationship between the two and desired target could not be more different. So instead of looking and saying, I'm at this ratio and I want to shoot for this target, all you should be looking for is improving that ratio. And how do you improve this ratio? It's fairly simple. You need to decrease your customer acquisition cost and you need to increase your lifetime customer value. Comparing this to what other people are doing is kind of meaningless because at the end of the day, it's still going to come back with the same answer. this person has higher lifetime value than me and lower customer acquisition cost. I would like to be more like them. And these are the same ideas and the same fundamentals you would use. To decrease customer acquisition costs is a little bit simpler. And if you're looking at the example above, the most common example is making sure that you're advertising smarter, not harder. But if you were looking at this and you were misguided on how you were supposed to set your advertising budget before, you might, like the example above, notice that you have five different methods. Some of them, the customer acquisition cost is extremely cheap, and some of them is extremely high. If you want to increase or decrease your customer acquisition cost, then maybe just sheerly shifting some of your advertising dollars to more effective strategies is going to fix it right there. To give you an example on that of how this might be shifting your thinking is, how did you look in the past if you were spending $2,000 on Google versus $600 on a billboard? If you're just concerned about dollars, you might be saying, well, I'm never going to get rid of that billboard because it's just too cheap. It's a fifth of the cost or a fourth of the cost of Google, and I'm going to keep on doing this. What if I told you that the billboard only brought you in one client a month, and you realize the customer acquisition cost on that is $600, but the money you spent on Google, the $2,000, is giving you 10 new customers, and it's only costing you $200 per customer? So if you're looking at customer acquisition costs, this is now a very easy decision, and I'm probably going to spend even more money with Google as long as it's going to still give me the same return on investment. What is another way to look at this? We're not looking at the dollars and cents, but we're looking at the value. We're not looking at the dollars and cents, we're looking at the customer acquisition cost. Customer acquisition cost, as compared to lifetime value, is value. If you're looking for what is the cheapest method out there, there's only one: referrals. And especially if you're not paying your customers referrals, this is the cheapest form of advertising. If you do a good job for someone and they liked it so much, they went and told their friend and their friend comes in, spends money on it. What is that ratio? Your customer acquisition cost is zero. And if we're using the same example of above, you got a customer, the lifetime value is now $1,500. If you can do a good enough job in your shop that your customers are doing the advertising for you, you already knew that it was a good method of advertising, but now you can see on these ratios and on this analysis on why it's making people so much money and why it's such a successful model if you can do it. Maybe you've never paid for referrals in the past. Maybe this probably just shifted your thinking on how even giving $100 gift cards to customers that were referring other customers might still be your cheapest form of advertising. But the whole idea on customer acquisition costs is the cheaper, the better. The less money that we can spend and the more customer that brings in there is the name of the game. Increasing your lifetime customer value is a little bit different. And going back to what we were talking about before, maybe using some of these different advertising methods to get in you a higher lifetime value customer. I'll give you an example on this. You might be looking at this, and if you just look at customer acquisition cost on something and kind of go into the example above, you might be led down a line of thinking of like maybe something like Groupon could work for me. For those of you that have done Groupon deals in the past, you probably shudder at the thought of this because you know how poorly it worked out. But the reason it worked out so poorly is not because our customer acquisition cost was too high, but the customers that Groupon brought in had zero lifetime value. Great, my Groupon only costed me $50 to issue out there, but the customer came in and I made zero gross profit because they just got a cheap oil change and left. Being too focused on customer acquisition costs and not the ratio between the two could lead you to the wrong decisions. Another way to increase this is increase your average repair order. You control this. So if you can't increase the amount of times that the customers come to see you, you can try and get more money out of each time that they visit you. Same flip side of this is if you can't increase how much money they spend with you, can you increase the frequency that they come in there? Doing free tire rotations, making sure that you're doing the courtesy checks, making sure that you're staying in touch and reminding your customers to come in and see you. In the hospitality industry, this is the name of the game. Increase the amount of times that they come in, increase the amount of money that they spend each visit. It's no way to not increase your sales if you're increasing both of these numbers. The last one on here, probably the hardest one, but probably the most important one, is increasing their time as a client. This is the largest determining factor in auto repair shops that advertise or ones that don't. If your customers don't like your shop and they don't come back, you are going to have to constantly advertise because, like above, you're going to have to get all of your money on that first visit because you're never going to see them again. My shops that spend zero money on advertising generally have massive lifetime value for their customers because instead of 3 years like above, let's say that they're there for 15 years, we now have a $7,500 lifetime value compared to $1,500. And just like the example above, if I'm getting all of my customers through billboards, I'm spending $600 to hopefully make $1,500, where a long-term shop that has a great reputation and is running off of the referrals and word of mouth is going to have a quadruple as high lifetime customer value. And if you're doing truly off of referrals and word of mouth, zero customer acquisition cost. At the end of the day, understanding these numbers is the key to scaling your business. And understanding these numbers is also the key to scaling your business profitably. But truly grasping this concept shines a light on something that you might have never thought is possible. If you do such a good job on your customers that they never leave and tell all of their friends, then you could have that dream of zero customer acquisition costs and massive or infinite lifetime value. This is the end goal for most shops, and a lot of them are already operating as such. Still think, as an owner of a shop, that it's as easy as spending 3-6% of your sales on advertising? I hope not. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Just want to say thanks again for listening on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find all shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listing apps. Thanks again for joining on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.